Does anyone know that everyone here just rocks? Like, I could just go, since I know most everybody, one by one and tell how you rock because of your witness, because of your connection to God, because of the people that you have encouraged and helped know the Lord and helped them along their journey. So as we... honor our missionaries here. I don't want you to think that like they're, you know, Billy Graham and we're just like nobodies, you know. We're all just as special as they are. But it's they do special calling. I've known Heather since she was literally a little girl and got to be part of her life in a very strong way. I've known her husband, Jesse, since he decided to get serious with the Lord. And my son and I had a little talk when we noticed that, and we tag-teamed him in his words until he really surrendered to the Lord. And so we had the privilege of doing that. And just knowing this couple, they're the, I mean, like, for real deal. And God asked them to do some very difficult things, and they said yes. I think it's in Isaiah, send me, Lord. Yeah. And so, and they did. They went. They went to another nation. Their living conditions are very difficult and have been. What did you said? You lived in the tent for like 2 years, and you have to worry about all the... in Africa with all the stuff there and the what monitors and the cobras and the lions and tigers and no my, you know, and it's like, and you got kids, you know, you got babies, and it's like, it's pretty awesome. Oh, the hippos. Yeah. You can actually hear the hippos from the house because they live on this lake. So anyway, just a beautiful couple, a beautiful marriage. I got the privilege of being their marriage counselor up until they got married, and just been there. And I got to see them, and I got to see how they responded to their commitment to God and the Holy Spirit. And it's just been a blessing out of all the people that I've gotten to be part of their lives. They're two of my favorite. And I'm not saying that because we're in church and, you know, just saying that. Maybe you fell off the horse for today. So today, I guess they are. Yeah, I guess today they are. And it's just been a blessing to know them, and so exciting when they come back to the States. And then I follow them on Facebook and stuff. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful expression of God's love to the world. And I wanted to finish up here with maybe their... it's been mine most of my Christian life, one of my personal favorites, because I've gotten to work with missionaries a lot and house them and feed them and encourage them and support them and at times mentor them like these two. And this has really been my scripture that the Lord put on my heart as a young Christian when he showed me that a part of my calling was to encourage and help missionaries. Sing to the Lord, put it on some of their literature. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. So David wasn't just telling the people around him about God. He wanted the nations to know about his God and actually set out to make that happen. It's one of the reasons the Lord cherished him so much. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonder among the peoples. Here is two of my best friends on the planet, Jesse and Heather.
All right. I have this one.
Okay, you don't need that.
Good morning. We're very happy to be here. I guess this is working. Okay, awesome. Very excited to be here, and of course to visit Ted and Linda. Like he was saying, is a huge part of our life, huge part of discipling us and helping us to grow in the Lord, and to help usher us to the calling that God has called us to. And I'm also excited to be here because I feel like as we share with you the mission that we're doing, we're going to have like some more prayer warriors on our team. that, you know, that's one thing that's kept us in the field, kept us alive, kept my wife alive for sure, and some of the trials that we went through. And I just thank God for the body of Christ. And even as you hear today, I just pray that you grab hold of the vision that we are carrying, and that it'll be part of your prayer life, and that it'll also encourage you. We work with an organization called Overland Missions, and their main offices are in Florida. Main mission base is in Zambia, where we lived for the first 4 years on the mission field. And so we're committed to bringing the gospel to the unreached areas of the earth. So we live mostly in the villages, or work in the villages, and are committed to the gospel, to keep the gospel pure, and to see the power of the Holy Spirit working in people's lives. My wife is Heather, like I said, and we have 5 children. I think you saw her in here. Isaiah, he's 6, 7. Samson's 5. Hosanna is almost 2, and Nehemiah, the new one. He was born in September. So, and what's interesting is the you know, a lot of people think, well, you know, how can you go on the mission with 6 kids? Well, my wife says, if the Lord called us to preach and he called us to be fruitful and multiply, that's his problem if it doesn't work out. And so the Lord gave my wife 6 names early on, and in order, the gender has been correct so far. And our 6th kid should be a girl if then the fullness of the prophecy will be fulfilled. So we're planning on one more. So, but we really look at children as a blessing. They aren't a burden to us. And it's difficult sometimes, but the Lord has blessed us with good children. And after this 15-hour flight, people look at us and say, your kids were really good. They didn't expect it when they first got on the plane and saw us. But anyways, we're excited to do the work that God has called us to do. And we love to take our children with us. The Overland Missions we work with is, right now, we have 150 staff working in different nations in the world. We specifically work in Zambia. And so I do have a couple videos just to kind of to give you a visual and connect you as far as seeing like the terrain we're in and seeing where we're working. And then I'm going to show a second video in a little bit to one of my disciples that he's going to share what the Lord has done in his life and how the mission has affected him. So in this video that he's about to show, it's video we've taken from our area, the terrain we're in, and the location. And in this video, it kind of shows getting to the people and what that takes, you know. So, and you'll see in the video, it says any road, any load, any time. And that's one of the mottos of Overland Missions, that it doesn't matter what the road is, we want to get there to bring the message to the people. So you can play that first video. Okay, so that gives you a little idea of where we live and how the ministry is. Where, you know, as it says, as his glory will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. And that's what we're believing for. And that's what we believe. The message of the gospel brings the salvation to people and reveals the glory of God. And that's what we're committed to. My wife and I, we started with a surrender to the Lord. Just saying, Lord, whatever you want to do with our life. You know, and it was God working through us in his grace. We are what we are. We can only be missionaries by his grace that is in our lives. He gives us the ability to do what we do. And, you know, the reason there's unreached people in the earth is because the places to get to are hard to get to. It's not easy. It's difficult. They're in some people's sense that are what they would think they're unreachable, you know, but you saw the terrain, you saw the roads, you see how it is. But that's why in this modern age, we still have unreached areas. But I believe God is raising people up to carry out this great commission to reach the unreached. And we are so glad to be a part of a team who is committed to that. You know, one of the ways we got started in ministry was by going out witnessing. He trained us in evangelism. Every Tuesday night we'd go out, and that was before Heather and I dated or even hardly knew each other. I joined the team, and we got to know each other through that ministry. And it started out with just going out and witnessing, sharing the gospel with people at the beach or at the mall. And then eventually it turned into a downtown ministry where we ministered in an apartment complex, and We built a Bible study there, and we ministered to the people, and we didn't have like all this boldness, like I can do it, I have the ability, you know. But we were like humble and like, oh man, God better come through, because if He doesn't, we're gonna look foolish, you know. We're just gonna go out of the call that God has called us to as the saints to minister His word to people and see Him come through. And so we grew together in friendship, and then into a relationship in the ministry that we were called to. And we talk about all the time how we were given a section of the town to create a Bible study and a ministry there. And we found one lady that was willing to have a Bible study at her house, and we invited the neighbors, and one neighbor came. And for over a year, we went to that house and had a Bible study every Tuesday night with those ladies. And so, you know, the God says, when you're faithful over the few things, He'll make you ruler over many. You know, it doesn't always start with the big crowds and the big nation or whatever the case may be. It just starts with being committed to what God called you to as an individual, and just being willing to do whatever He calls you to. And, you know, it doesn't matter your age either. Maybe He'll call you to the mission field. You know, we have 80 old people who have come there and showed the Jesus film all over Zambia, and the Lord has used them mightily. Hallelujah. And the next thing after we're in Zambia, they went to Cuba. I don't know if they're still there or not, but that's what they went after that. So if whether you're young or old or whatever God has for you, just be ready to say yes. Hallelujah. And so in 2008, Heather and I got married. In 2011, we joined Overland Missions and we moved to Zambia. And at the time, we just had our daughter, who's 10 months old, and we moved with her. And like Ted said, we moved into a tent, a safari tent, and that's how we lived the first year and a half. And later on, we had to move back in a tent again. But after we built a house. But anyway, our specific role in Overland Missions is sector management. So what we do as a missionary couple, we commit 5 years to a specific region to implement the different ministries within Overland Missions, to raise up disciples, to raise up a team that will continue the ministry even after we leave. Because we don't want to go in there and start something and leave, and then it just fizzles out and nothing remains. You know, we want to have fruit that remains, like Jesus prayed that we would have that fruit. So the vision for what we do as a couple is to create a viral move of God in the chieftain that continues after we leave. So like I like to tell people, I don't want to go there and just make a few people's lives a little bit better. You know, in the natural, you can look at them and say, oh, they're poor, they live in a mud hut, and if they could at least have a toilet, or if they could have at least have running water, you know, in your natural mind, you could limit the work of God that He wants to do. But He wants to totally, radically transform every life and to form the image of Christ, could display the image of God in the earth, and also become ministers that could bring life-changing hope and peace and joy to other people also. Hallelujah. Not just to change their natural state a little bit to make their life a little better, but I believe that through the gospel, as they commit their ways to the Lord, that He will help them with the wisdom and the knowledge how to create a family environment and an economic stability within their family, so that they will live in a fruitful way also. They might not have vehicles and the latest computers and all those things. They might never have that, but we don't have to have those to have joy and peace and experience the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So this is done. The creative viral move from God is done by raising up disciples and leaders that catch this vision and that run with it, this vision for the kingdom of God. And that's what's going to make the work that we do continue to leave, if they grab hold of the vision. And so we when we first moved to Zambia, we were committed to one area called Sokoute. And we were working in that area for 3 or 4 years. And like I said, it was 5 years of the vision, right? The Lord called us to another area while we were working there. But the good thing was, is we had some of our team with Overland Missions that was working there so that we could leave it to. specifically called us to this new area called Chipepo. And what I was sharing a little bit with your pastor yesterday, how my pastor from Florida, Pastor Tim Franklin, he was supposed to come to Zambia and go to this area that I had never been. And 2 weeks before he left, he was rear-ended by a drunk driver on his motorcycle. And so trying to decide, should I go? My back is messed up. Thank God he survived, but his back was pretty messed up. And he didn't know if he could do the flight. He didn't know if he could do the roads and all these things. While he was praying one morning, just trying to seek the Lord, God, what do you want me to do? And he had a vision of this African man walking out of a hut, opening his arms and saying, "We've been waiting for you." And so he said, "I'm supposed to go." So he shared the vision with Phil Smethers, our leader of Overland Missions. And Phil said, "Describe the man to me." So he described him. And he said, "Hold on." And he picked up his phone. He found a picture. He says, "Is this him?" He said, "Yes, that's him." And it was Chief Chipepo, the chief of the region that we are in. And so when he came to Zambia, and the reason I went to that area was just to drive him out there. I was just going to visit also. But when I went out there with him, the Lord opened my eyes to the opportunity there and began to make things very clear that we were to move there and to begin a work within Overland Missions to reach that area. And God confirmed it in different ways. And my wife was on board. And like he said earlier, if our vision's together, or somebody said, if our vision is together, it really works, you know. So we met in 2014, and, you know, I heard somebody once say that when you get a word from God, it'll be tested. You'll get a word and you're like, going now, and you'll start going, and then you'll find some tests coming. And it happened with Jesus when the Lord spoke from heaven, when the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then immediately he went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the first thing, one of the first things he says is, "If you are the Son of God," you know, he tested that word. If you are the Son of God, you know, you got this word from heaven, yes, but why don't you prove it, you know? And so a lot of times when we receive an instruction from the Lord, there will be a time of testing. But don't worry, if God spoke to you, he's going to bring you through it. And when we moved to Chipepo, we moved back into a tent. We had built a home at the other base, thought we'd be there for 10 years. But we had to move back into a tent onto a bare piece of land. There was nothing there. We had no fence. We had hippos out there in the front yard and crocodiles and all these things. We eventually hurried to get a fence up because one of the actually dangerous things was the rabid dogs in the community. So we had to put a fence up to keep the rabid dogs, cows, and everything else. Anyway, not long our son Samson, actually about 10 months old at the time, he got malaria. And we didn't know he had malaria at the time. Once we got him tested, I can't tell the whole story, I'll take the whole time, but God miraculously brought him out of that, and thank God he was okay. But my wife, she got sick also and didn't notice it because she was taking care of the baby. And the doctors in the town, they tested her for malaria, didn't find malaria in her system, misdiagnosed her multiple times, and eventually we had to medically evacuate her to South Africa to find better treatment there. And when she got there, they had to put her in a medically induced coma because her kidneys were shutting down, and she was in a coma for 5 days, ICU for 8 days, and in the hospital a total of 2 weeks. But the Lord brought her through. She had six different blood transfusions. She had dialysis 6 times. And I mean, we were just praying. We had our team praying over, and it was definitely scary. You know, it wasn't like, you know, like, oh, this is just easy pie, you know, but it was not easy going through that. But the calling, you know, on us helped us to bring it through the vision that we had from the Lord. And even in that time, I had to, you know, didn't know if I was going to lose or not. I had to say, you know, "Lord, I'm going to follow you no matter what happens," and make that decision, you know. And so I thank God that he brought her through. And since then, we've had 2 more children, which we look at as also a miracle from God, you know. And so we've been through different things, but God has brought us through them all. And he continues to bring us through, and he will continue to bring us through. And we don't believe we're going to die early because we have vision, and we know God has calling for us and things for us to do, and he's going to bring us through any other difficulties we go through, and we just continue to trust him. But, you know, always set before him, Jesus endured the cross. You know, he despised the shame. He didn't like the way people treated him, but he endured all the persecutions, all the things that he went through because he had a joy set before him. He had a vision set before him. He saw a people of God. He saw the redeemed of the Lord. He saw us, you, our faces. He saw the people of God that were going to be raised up and glorify his Father. And so that's one of the things that keeps us going. We are beginning to see the fruit of what God is doing. And in this next video, I'm going to show you is one of our main disciples that started with 5 years ago in Chipepo when we moved there. And he began just working with us, helped me build my house. He helped build the base. And as we were going along, I actually found that he wasn't called just to work and make money at our base, but he was also called to be a preacher. So, African accent. So you'll have to listen closely. Maybe you guys can bump the volume up some so we can hear, but you'll probably catch most of it. I let Ted listen to it, so he can tell me what it was like. And so most of it you can catch. Maybe some words you'll miss, but I think you'll get the idea. So let me show you this video, and then we'll go. And then actually, if you don't know where Zambia is, I think I have a map in the video and some other pictures and stuff that'll help you tie things together. So.
For what he's doing in his chiefdom. This is his chiefdom. And I thank God for Orient Missions for what they're doing and what they brought here, that we just jump in when we saw what God is doing in this organization. And I thank God that he won wisdom to come up with this idea of having what is going on. It's love of God that we are doing together, working as a brother and a sisters, bringing many souls to Christ, and it's overwhelmed. It's overwhelmed me when I see what God is doing in this chiefdom through our missions. And the first thing that I want to share is that my life wasn't really good along the Lord, and even my marriage wasn't good. Now I have peace, more peace in my family, there's peace in my marriage, peace in my heart. In my body that I can even share with someone that it's because of the Lord to what he has done in my life, in my marriage. That everything is moving well. The gospel is being preached to main areas. That even the churches in our chiefdom have now a unique relationship to each other. A lot of dispute among one another. Now, because of the love of God, made the churches to meet, to visit one another. And also the gospel is touching a lot of people in this kingdom, whereby we walk almost every day preaching the gospel. We move here and there for the work of God. We do it because of his love. And we encourage ways, many different areas, different places. We encourage those who feel like they are depressed, they are down, those who feel like they are nothing. But when we come up sharing the love of God, they feel like they are something. They are also people that God created. And specifically, I thank God for my leader, Jesse Cranes, for he is mentoring me about their gospel. If I can say, if it wasn't him, yes, I know Christ would do something for me to get the gospel. But God sent him. He sent him to come here that I may have this. We are a group, and with a good number of people in this group, but we work together in unity, where we see that God is really moving. There is a place that I'll never forget that we went for preaching, demons ran away from us, and God is at hand, he's working. I'm a Christian because of the work that Jesus did on the cross and because of the way he preached. And the discipline did to those 12 disciples, and they spread it to everyone now that we are here enjoying the same work that Jesus brought in the world. And he commissioned us to do the same, to bring lost souls, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. So this is the life that Christ Jesus commissioned us, and a lot of promises, and this is how we should live in a Christian walk.
Hallelujah. So that's just some of the fruit. And, you know, that's what makes it worth it all, to see a life radically transformed, for someone like him to catch hold of the vision of the kingdom and to be doing the work also. So like him, and we have three or four other guys, our main, they've taken on areas within Chipepo for themselves that they are implementing the ministry themselves, raising up disciples. And eventually, this guy, he might even be the one who takes over for us in our area. But he's really caught hold of the vision, and the Lord is using him. And you know, we give these guys bicycles, or like him, we've given a motorbike, or and his brother, we've gave a motor for a boat. And they're using all different vehicles to get to the locations that are difficult to reach. And they'll spend a few nights out there and just minister to the people, pray for them, see people healed, delivered, set free, and God working in the communities to change lives. And it's just it's an honor to be a part of it, honestly. And Chief Chipepo, who my pastor saw in the vision, has been praying for his chiefdom for 10 years before we ever moved there. So I guess now it's 15 years he's been praying for his chiefdom. So he's been believing for a move of God in his chiefdom. Most chiefs are not Christians, as you probably know, that a lot of them are tied to traditional beliefs and all these other things. But God is using this man, not only in his own area, but in the nation to bring a change. And we thank God for what he's doing in the nation of Zambia. And it's going to beginning to touch other nations. And when David Livingston, he was the first missionary to Zambia, in the 1850s, and he actually died in Zambia. But I don't know if you know much about Livingston, but I read my first book about him this year, and he would walk across Africa. Like, he was the first European to walk all the way across the continent. I mean, and Africa's really big. I mean, you can fit the United States three times in Africa. It's huge. It's really big. When he was in Zambia, on that land, before it was called Zambia, He bent his knees on the ground and he prayed, God, on this land where my knee is bowed, let it become a mighty Christian nation, a beacon of hope to the African continent and a light to the rest of the world. And so we're believing God for a move within Zambia that will raise up preachers of the gospel to go into all the nations. Hallelujah. It's not a small vision. It's not just, again, making some people's lives a little bit better, but we want to raise up Zambian missionaries to preach the word of God, to bring life, the life-changing message of the gospel. Hallelujah. So, you know, I've heard somebody say once that it's the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. Like you heard him in the video at the end. He's like, this is the work that Jesus left for us to do, to go into all the nations and to preach the gospel. And this is what Jesus gave us to do when he left. And wherever our world is, wherever we live in the world, I like how Pastor Tim, our pastor, says, he says, go wherever you go, whenever you go, make disciples. You know, so it's wherever you are at that you are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seeking the kingdom of God, and as you are seeking, as you are looking, how can I be a part of the kingdom today? How can I affect somebody with the kingdom of God? He will use you wherever you are. Hallelujah. Yes. And so if when you look through the book of Luke, in chapter 9, Jesus sends out the 12. You know, Jesus has been going around preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing the sick and casting out devils. Then in Luke 9, he sends out the 12 to do the same. Mm-hmm. Luke 10, then he sends out 70 again to do the same work, right? Yeah. He was making disciples and giving them the work to do. Then you get to Matthew 28:18, and Jesus is about to leave. And we know this verse. It's a very, very familiar verse. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the name of the Son and of the name of the Holy and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So in verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Okay, well, one of his commands is right there. Go and make disciples. So the disciples taught people to make disciples, and they taught people to make disciples, and they taught people to make disciples. And here we are today, thank God for the faithful people, because we wouldn't know the gospel unless somebody preached it to us. We wouldn't have faith unless we heard. Hallelujah. And so because of people faithful for 2,000 years with the message of the gospel, we are alive in Christ today. Jesus actually said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? And I believe he's going to find it, because we're going to be faithful in our generation with this message, to bring this message of life and hope to people who are sick and dying and in darkness. And even today, so much more, the people need the gospel. So much more, America needs the gospel. Because you see what's happening in America. Okay, there's a lot of things that have changed in the last, since I've been alive. And I know a lot of you have seen even more since you were born. And you know, there's so much that the media puts forth and says and does and is proclaiming this message of all the terrible things that's happened. But there's people need to hear the good news. There's still good news. There's still the glory of God, which is increasing. Yes, the evil might be increasing, but the glory of God is always increasing more in a more exponential way. And so we are the carriers of this message. And wherever we go and however we go, we got to make sure that we're communicating this message of life and hope and peace, because the people, they have nowhere to bring stability in their life. They have no foundation where to put their life because they don't have the message of the gospel. You know, Paul said he laid a foundation. He, as a wise master builder, he brought a foundation for the Gentiles to start building their life upon, so they actually make a productive life. And so we have this message of hope. In each one of us here today, we have this message of life, and we have the words of Christ that can bring a life change to any person you come in contact with. And I believe that what's going to bring an awakening to America is for the church to grab hold of this great commission that we have, to run with it and to not be afraid and to be bold and to speak the word of God, no matter what kind of persecution we may receive. Hallelujah. So Mark 16:15 says, and he said to them, go into and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Tongues, they will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Hallelujah. One of the main points in here I want to bring out, these signs will follow those who believe. Not just the pastor, not just the apostle, not just the prophet, but those who believe, these signs. We just have to activate our faith and say, God, I believe you. And you have to step out in faith and do what Jesus called us to do. And again, it says here, go into the world and what? Preach the gospel. Preaching, it can come in different ways, but it's basically opening up your mouth and speaking the word of God. You know, sometimes it might be standing in a place like this behind a pulpit preaching. But sometimes it can be just sitting with your neighbor and sharing some words from the scriptures. Amen. That are in your heart as you have taken the time in your quiet time and went into this word and found treasures that are in there. And you're like, this is awesome. I want to share it with somebody else. Hallelujah. Acts 1:6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the Jews were looking for a king to come and to establish the kingdom and to take over the Romans, to take over the world, and to once again make Israel the top of the world so that they could rid the place of all these wicked Romans and whatever the case may be. They were waiting for a king in the physical to come and to change everything. And so they're like, okay, Jesus, we've seen everything you did. You actually died and you rose again. Now, is this when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he's like, you heard what he said. It's not for you to know the times and seasons which my Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8, but he turns it around. They're looking to him. Jesus, are you going to do this and that and what? And he's like, listen, you, when you receive power from on high, you will be witnesses. I believe a lot of people are waiting for God to do something, waiting for God to move. But he's waiting for us to move so that he can move through his word that he's given us and through the power of the Holy Spirit that he's given us to do the works of Jesus, which he gave us to do when he left. Hallelujah. So this empowerment of the Holy Spirit that he's talking about was to empower us to be a witness. It wasn't just so we could just feel good and have a great time. But yes, it's part of it to have the joy and the peace and all that. But it's for the empowering to do the work that Jesus did. Hallelujah. This is why he poured out his Spirit upon us so that we could go into all the world and preach the gospel. And as we preach the gospel, that the signs will follow those who believe. It's not our ability or our power or our responsibility to make somebody be healed or make somebody be saved or make somebody be delivered from a demon. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. We just have to be obedient to the calling and wherever we are in our world to open up our mouth and share the message of the gospel. In Romans 1:16, it says that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel, the message of the gospel, the declaring of the gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he paid for our sins, that he completely wiped away all the handwriting and requirements that were against us, that he took it out of the way so that we can have this wonderful relationship with God and get to know him. Hallelujah. And that we can have eternal life. And like John wrote in Jesus' words, that this is eternal life, that we would know the only true God in Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And so it's an opportunity to know God. Amen. Which I know that every human being on this planet would want to know God if they knew that it was possible. I know some people say, oh, there's no God or whatever they might say. But if God appeared to them, they'd say, okay, yeah, I want to know him. Hallelujah. So we have this responsibility as believers to bring the message of the gospel to people who are lost and are dying. And this is what we are called to. And Acts 2, the 120 were empowered to do the same work Jesus did when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came. He said, you will receive power. And what happened? They received power. And then they were empowered to do what he did. And what we said, greater works than these will you do because I go to the Father. So he has called us to even greater works. And he's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's ready to heal. He's ready to deliver, to work miracles and signs and wonders on his, to glorify himself. Hallelujah. And he has chosen to work through us. So we are the ones, we are the ambassadors of Christ that are the ministers of reconciliation to go to people and bring them back into relationship with God. Hallelujah. I love the story of one of the headmen in one of the areas working, and it's actually in Elisha. This guy, I didn't even share his name, but his name is Elisha. So his area, it's one of the zones within Chicago, and he goes there every week ministering, and there's a headman there that he had been ministering at a marriage conference that we had in the central area, and our pastor from Florida had come to minister to concerning marriage, and he had us translate a sheet. On one side it says how to ask for how, you know, and it was translated in Tonga, And so this headman came and his life was changed. He was an alcoholic, but he was delivered from alcoholism. He had a rough marriage, but through this, the message of forgiveness, his marriage was restored. And in, as a headman in a village, he's ruling over a number of people and families. And so they come to him for land disputes or even problems within the different families and different things. And he's almost like a judge. So he used to judge a certain way, but now when the people come to him, he just pulls out this paper and he's like, read this. And they read it and they talk, they forgive each other, and the problem is solved. Hallelujah. That's the message of forgiveness. You know, there's so much power in forgiveness that it just breaks the yokes of bondage. It delivers people. It brings us back into relationship with Father. And that's the type of ministers we are, to bring those. That's why people have problems. They don't have a relationship because you don't know what to do in this life. You have no hope. You have no reason to live. You have no understanding and build your life, and you'll build it on so many failures, disappoint you. But we bring them into relationship with God, and then we help for the relationship with the family members in their life or the friends, and we teach them the message of forgiveness. You can change their life radically. Hallelujah. And it's just by loving them and loving them enough to open our mouths to share with them the wonderful message of Christ. Hallelujah. This is what we are called to. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. So, us as Christians, we are supposed to be joyful. We're supposed to be living a life that's full of life. We are representing Jesus in the world. We are shining as lights, and live life, they see you and they're going to ask you, what, how do you have this joy? How do you have this peace? And you got to be ready to answer. The only way we can be ready to answer is through this word and spending our time with God. And that's one thing my wife and I have been committed to, is staying in this word. And it's the only way that we're even able to do what we do. Because, you know, when we started with Overland Missions, it's like, We were given some training, and I look at it. It was a 3-month training I did, and it was like we were given the tools. I was in construction growing up and worked in that for 12 years as a block and brick mason with my dad. So it's like we were given the tools and a tool belt to go out and do the job we were given to do. But any of you have done any construction, if you have a tool, it doesn't mean you know how to use it well. If any of you had tried to lay a block, when you start with a trowel, the mud just falls off of there and does not do what you want it to do. You have to really train, and takes maybe a couple years to really become good at masonry. And so when I was given these tools as a missionary, we didn't really know what we were doing. We just had to go out and go in faith, and we'd sit down and gather a group of people in a village and say, we want to share the word with you. And now we're like, we better have something to share. And so we had to stay in the word of God and just get in there and say, God, give me something. Lord, show me something to share. And he is faithful. And you know, we might have not been real eloquent in our speech and all those things, but the Lord developed that and helped us to grow, and then helped us to be able to share the word of God and to minister to people this wonderful message that he's given us. And so I believe, in especially in America, we have such an opportunity to know Jesus in a really deep and intimate way. Yes. With the word of God, and we have it on our phones. How many translations can you access? Don't even know. You can read it in Chinese if you want to learn Chinese, because you can find it in your phone in Chinese, but you don't need that, of course. But you have so many translations in English, so many study, and so many ways to study the word. And we have an opportunity to know the Lord and develop that relationship. And I just encourage you in your walk to continue that, to stay in the word of God, to go deeper, to spend more time in the word, and to get to know Jesus more, and let that be deposited in you so that you have that ability to give a reason for the hope that is in you. Ephesians chapter 6, you know, I'm not going to read it, but I just want to talk about it. You know, the Word of God, we have to look at it as for us. So, like, is the Ephesians 6 for us? Yes, I believe it is. We want to put on the whole armor of God. And yes, we put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth. But don't forget about the boots. What's the boots? Peace. The gospel of peace. Amen. The gospel. It's there, right? It's part of our walk. We're walking in this gospel, this good news, and we carry that. And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So we don't want to just live on the defensive. We want to be on the offensive, right? The word, we pull the Word of God out and we use that word to bring in the truth and the light. And it says in the Word that the entrance of the Word brings light. Where there's confusion and all these other things, people don't know what to think or what to believe because there's so many messages in the world that are false. But when you bring in the Word of God, it brings light. And it starts to make sense as people put faith in that word. And you know the scripture that says the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It into obedience, in captivity, into the obedience of Christ. And so there's a lot of thoughts in the world. And a lot of people spend a lot of time watching the media that the world is putting forth. And we listen a lot to the messages that are there. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, our minds can be only thinking those things to where we're thinking about how bad the world is and how terrible people are. And we even can build up, it can build hate within your heart for people because you're like, man, people are just terrible. And then you don't even want to go outside because you don't want to see people because they're terrible. Something else. We gotta get a different message from the Word of God, the message of hope and life, and that all men that were created by God and created to bring glory to God, and that we are the ones to out of them through the message of the gospel, to bring them into a place of being born again, to be restored to that image and likeness of Christ that we were originally intended to be when God created man. He created them in his likeness and his image. And Jesus came to restore that image that was lost. We lost it in the garden, but Jesus came to bring it back. And as Paul said, he labors in birth to until that Christ is formed in us. And Christ is the very image of God. And we are to be formed into that image. And you know, God is a God who spoke into the darkness and light was created. And how did he do it? Again, by word. He spoke. And he's called us the sons of God to speak his word, to declare his word into dark situations and command the light to come out. Hallelujah. God wants to bring light to dark places. It's by the people of God carrying the message of the gospel, this wonderful message that has hope and life and peace. And as a messenger, you also walk in wisdom. You ask God, what do you want me to speak at this time? Because each situation will require a different word. And that word has been sown into you through this word and engrafted into you. And so you have that word of the Lord to bring into that situation. We use the Word of God to combat against the corrupt thoughts of men that think God is something other than he is, or that we are something other than he created us to be. So we're bringing those thoughts into captivity. We're bringing the Word of God in. We speak the Word. It's a different message than what the people hear every day. You know, the world wants to bring people into bondage and corruption, and they want to corrupt their thoughts that through music or media, or a lot of times there's a hidden message in there or an agenda to make us think a certain way, to put a box so that and we'll just leave alone. He wants us to change everything. He wants us to radical change and transformation by the message that he's planted with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so that we can bring change in the world that we are in. Hallelujah. We are the ones that's going to bring change. The world and their system is not going to bring the change that they desire. And you know, you vote, I believe change needs to come in the government, all those things, and we're praying for that. We're believing for great for this nation. But the main way it's going to people of God rising up and taking this the commission of Jesus Christ and declaring the word of God wherever we're at. And you know, one of the things we do in Zambia is we want the guys, our disciples, what we call Bible studies, or we've actually Bible meetings in different areas so that everybody has an opportunity to hear the word of God and learn the word of God. And so whatever you are in, it could be one person, or it could be five people. It could be just your neighbor, it could be your cousin, or that you get together and you just share this word of God together. You never know what can happen. You just start making an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to, and you open the word, and the word is creative and it brings life. And a lot of things in this life battling against us from doing that, you know, because he has a plan also, but we have to be wise and we have to combat against it with this sword of the Spirit that we carry. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is a light to us, who has shown in our hearts to give light, glory of God, in the face of Jesus Christ. So God shone out of darkness, and he brings light through the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Knowledge, how is knowledge? How do we learn knowledge? How do we get faith? We hear. We hear, and by faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we hear, and we hear, and we hear, and our faith is built. So in order for the word to be heard, somebody has to speak it. So if you want things to change in your world, you have to speak the word. You have to get a word of the Lord and declare that into the situations that you're living in. Sometimes it might even just be through prayer. You have to pray the word of God into your situation to bring hope and life and restoration into the relationships or into whatever the situation might be. And so he brings this light out of darkness that's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So there's another part of that too, staring into the face of Jesus and being changed from glory to glory into that same image. That as we spend time with Jesus, we are actually beginning to shine brighter and brighter and brighter, so that when we go out and we are the light of the world, people are like, what is that? There's something different. There's something different about this person. And it takes, again, it goes back to spending that time with the Lord and basically charging up, you know, like you plug your phone in every day. We got to plug ourselves into the Lord. Yes. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels are weak vessels. Our vessels are weak. We understand that we all have weaknesses. But it's that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So we can never say, look at the transformation I brought. Look, me and Heather, we went to Zambia and we changed the people there. No, we understand our weaknesses. We know each other very well, and we know ourselves even better as individuals, and we know we have weaknesses. But we have just submitted to the Lord, and we say, God, we want to be used. Use me. And he works through us, his power. And so that it's by his power, not our own. And there's no boasting on our behalf. It's all for his glory. You know, we are literally connected with heaven, and we are the conduit that are bringing the kingdom of God into earth by our connection that we have with God. So we say, God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we are the ones that are plugged into heaven. People are walking around blind, not knowing what to do. They hear all these different lies and things that are trying to form them into some other image than what God wants to. But when you are connected to heaven and you bring the kingdom of God into a situation, everything will change and the light will turn on and people will grab hold of this life and be changed. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So where is our sufficiency from? We're not sufficient of ourselves. So if we are waiting until we feel like we are qualified or feel like we can do it, we won't ever do it because we can never do it. We have to just step out in faith and know that what the word says, that it will happen, that God, if he says that his word will bring life, it will bring life. It says his word will accomplish what he sent it to do. Yeah. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Because the ignorance. They are ignorant of God. They don't know. And they walk around, do anything, anyhow, because they don't have any stability in their life. But it says, verse 25, therefore put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Let each one of you speak truth with your neighbor. So I took this as like, well, this is talking to everyone, right? Let each one of you speak truth. So we all in some way have to speak truth with our neighbor. And our neighbor could be the person next to us. It could be the next door neighbor, like literally. Or it could be the person in line at the grocery store, like somebody was giving the testimony earlier. Just speak truth wherever, whoever your neighbor is. Hallelujah. Yes. I just wanted to also say in Mark 4, if you read the parable, the seed of the sower, it says, the sower went out to sow, and it happened. Okay? The sower went out to sow, and it happened. Nothing would have happened if the sower didn't go out and sow. You see? Right. Nothing would have happened. Now, another thing of that is he went out to sow, and before he saw the harvest, he saw a lot of things. A lot of things were starting to grow. Oh, it is. And it died. And this is growing. Thorns choke it. And he saw the birds of the air steal. The enemy came and stole some of the seed. But he had to persevere and endure. He saw the harvest. Some bore fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And that's how Heather and I have been in Zambia. There's been times where we didn't see hardly any fruit. Sometimes our meetings, sometimes back down to 2 or 3 people. You know? But we continue to door and press through the things in the natural that seem like possible, but we know in the spirit that God is doing something. He is the one who has the responsibility to make the seed grow. Paul said, I planted, no, Apollos planted, I watered, but God gave the increase. You cannot make the seed grow. You cannot make it grow any faster. You cannot force it to grow. You cannot make the fruit you want it, but you just plant the seed. Let God give the increase. If you look at Ezekiel 37 and you read, I think a lot of you might know that story where in a valley of dry bones, and it says dry, meaning they were very dead. They were dry. There was no life. And the Lord said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he said, you know. Them to prophesy to the bones. He said, speak the word of the Lord, declare over these bones shall live. And he was obedient to the instruction of the Lord. So it looked, I mean, picked Ezekiel up and took him over all the bones and said, look at all these bones. They're very dead. God do thinking like Ezekiel must have been thinking, God, why do you have me here? Valley is where all these dead bones are. You know, sometimes we can question God. Why am I here? You know, we actually literally live in a valley. It's a valley continent. It's a rift, and it's called Gwembe Valley. It's 20 feet below a lot of the continents, like a plateau in that area. And it's very hot. It's very dry. And sometimes you look at the villagers, and some almost dead. But we have to look past. Says in Ephesians 1 Corinthians 5 that we no longer guard people according to the flesh. We no longer judge them according to the flesh and say, well, this guy can do so much because look how strong he is, or this one's young and he can do real great things for the kingdom of God. No, we cannot limit people and that the power of the new creation and all that the heaven and what God wants to do through that person, our physical eyes and our analysis of them in the natural. We have to take hold of what God is in the spirit and what it can become. The power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's the power that we have. And Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 that we would know that, or maybe Ephesians 2. But anyway, yeah, it was Ephesians 1. We would know that we have the power of Christ from the dead. And this is the power that we're carrying. It's the power that happens when somebody's born again so that they are completely changed from the inside out. And we have this wonderful message in these weak vessels to carry to the world. And we don't have to worry about our performance and how we do it. We just have to be obedient to what God has called us to do and just open up our heart and open up our mouth and share with the people the love of God and what he has done for them. In 1 Peter 1:20, we have been born, having been born not of corruptible, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Incorruptible. Nothing can touch it. Nothing can change it. It's perfect. It's perfect as when Jesus left. The same seed we carry is the same seed that Jesus left with us. And we sow that into people's lives by seed is the mark for that. We speak that word, watch God do the work. Hallelujah. People must hear the word of God to be born again. There's no other way. Must hear to come. Okay. Now the last verse I want to share is 6. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. The prophets and the Old Testament saw something, but there was a mystery to it. They didn't know what it was. Them, to the saints, God, that it's been now revealed, verse 27, them, God will have known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Corruptible seed in you, of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Hallelujah. It's his working. It's not what we can do. We might want to in the flesh, but we can do nothing. We can do nothing. But we take hold of what he's given us and use what he's given us, we can expect that he's going to mightily. And that the prophets and all these were speaking of, but didn't know how God was going to once again bring man back into relationship with him and once again glorify man, was that he was going to actually deposit himself into people again and become one with us in the spirit and join his spirit with ours, and that incorruptible seed would be sown into us so that we would once again be in the likeness and the image of God that he originally intended for us to be in Genesis chapter 1. And so he sent Jesus to be the full representation of himself so that we could see and say, this is who God is. This is what God is like. And so that we could receive that same image and that same seed and become into the likeness of God. And first it says, right now, beloved, we are the sons of God, even though it doesn't look like it at this time, but when we see him, we will be like him. So inside we are already the sons of God. And it says our life is hid in Christ, in God. And so as we seek him, as we look for him, that light and that glory and all those things become more clear, and we begin to see him clear, and we shine him better, and it's just a wonderful thing God's doing. And that's how he decided to fix all the mess of our lives, was that he was going to actually come inside of us and completely transform us so that we can become all that he's called us to be. Yeah. And this is the wonderful message of the gospel that we carry. Yes. And there's a lot of people that need it. There's so many people in this world that need to hear, and we are the ones to do it. We can't look around us and say, well, maybe that church over there is going to do it, or maybe that believer over there is going to do it. We are the ones. Hallelujah. And we thank God that he's using us. And again, Heather and I, we know our own weaknesses. We know that we couldn't do this, but God. But God in his mercy and his grace. Even Paul said that he was the chief among sinners. and that by the grace of God, he was what he was. And so it's only by his grace, and we just have to be that yielded and that willing vessel. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to pray for a minute. Father, we are so thankful for your word and your plan, God. Yes. That your plan is perfect. God, you gave us your plan. You gave us your word. You gave us all that you intended for mankind. God, in your word, you declare who you are and all that you plan and all that you desire for us as your people. And I pray, God, that we will all grab hold of that vision, the vision of your kingdom, that you want your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And I thank you, God, that you have called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. God, that you've given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Lord, that you've caused us to become partakers of your divine nature through the precious promises that we have in the word. And God, I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, for this body of believers here in this community, God, that are going hard after you, that desire more of you, that desire to see your kingdom come and your glory to be revealed, God, that you will use them mightily, God, yes, for your glory. And we thank you, Jesus, that you work through us as we step out in faith. And God, I just thank you for a boldness. I thank you for a sensitivity to your spirit and to your desire and to your working to continually flow in this place so that you might be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. My wife and I would like to pray for anyone that you just want more boldness to do what God has called you to do. You want the Lord to use you where you are at. And you want to the Holy Spirit just to lead you and to teach you how to minister to the people around you. And if you want prayer today, we'd love to pray with you and just impart to you what the Lord has imparted in us, and just to see God through your life also. So, anybody that wants prayer, we're willing to pray at this time.